Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to Al-Islam-based conversations. We'd like to welcome you and acknowledge that we appreciate you and that we have, if you've been on before, we have a mantra, I guess you could say, a mission statement. I don't know which one is more appropriate, but they all are trying to convey the fact that we want to try to enhance what's already available in your life and not show you or tell you how to think, but try to enhance your ability to think. And, you know, just think about the challenge that that may be, because a lot of people have grown older and grown wiser and they've got their own attitude about what it takes to succeed at this thing we call life. And I'm not here to try to tell you what to do or how to do or whatever. I'm here to try to be the messenger for this message that says that at the end of the day, God's way, truth, His word, scripture, revelation, whatever, however you want to say it or put it, is going to prevail. Now, a lot of that has to do, I will say most all of that, if not all of it, has to do with, do you believe there's something after this life? You know, then you have the titles, the atheist and agnostic and all that. You know, I'm not trying to get into that. I'm just saying, if you don't believe that there's anything after this, that after this, after death comes and it and your life ends, that's it. All of this was just to let you experience life and then die and take everything with you when you die. And a lot of people, I don't know what a lot means to you, believe that. So they live a life that's always focusing on this life. And they don't consider, they don't mind dying young because they say things are in place, they're looking good, and maybe had a little money in their pocket, and they had the girlfriend or the wife of their choice, and they had a few children, and hey, that's great. Life's good. And I did everything that I thought life had to offer, and maybe some things that didn't have to offer. And now that it's over, I kept my phrase going for me that life is too short. And so since life is short, I acted and I had and I did and I made out a bucket list and I fulfilled my dreams and all of my little wishes. And I did 4 out of the 5 things that I had on my list, and that's not bad. Now, this is just rhetorical talk on my point. I believe completely opposite of that, even though I do recognize that life is short. When you put it in perspective by looking at life and the how long it's been here and how brief a time, we're talking billions of years, you know, that this thing we call life has been here. Now, what hasn't been here is the human being, you know, and there's some debates on what name that the human being should take. You know, they got foreign names and they got spiritual beings and sexual beings and all of that. I choose to say human being, and I like the definition of it and everything. But let me get back on track here and acknowledge that the mantra that I was mentioning has to do with the fact that I make this promise that I will not waste your time or insult your intelligence. Now, there's always going to be some people who want to stump the chump or they want to ask a question that I may or may not know, and I would definitely tell them, I don't know. or I don't have an opinion right now about a given thing, or I don't want to be lured into taking a position and say they're right and they're wrong because I got a label and a title, and I believe I should go with the black people all the time no matter what. I should go with the Muslims all the time no matter what. I don't believe like that. My value system won't let me just vote for you or endorse you because we have the same race. It's not a monolithic thing. It's a subjective matter that becomes objective, and you clear up things as you go along, and you say, now I think I can tell you what I believe and why I believe and who helped me come to this understanding about that this belief and the way I'm believing and this maybe school of thought, however you want to put it. And that's, until further notice, that's the story, and I'm sticking to it. That's my approach. That's my value system. That's how I go about making decisions. See? And so what I'm offering is a look at that, a road test of that, and I want to go back and revisit something we've been talking about. Now, last week we had a little interruption. As it is, I just went to the store to pick up some jewelry, a bracelet that I had been having worked on. My link to it fell in it. Anyway, I was getting repaired. And big mall, you know, just everything you want. And when you're out shopping, you can go to the mall, and this mall, and get it. Creedmoor is called. But the elevator was broken. Now, the escalator side going up was okay, but the elevator side coming down wasn't working. And then they had another problem on the board with one of the signs. It said, you know, can't tell you or whatever. So the point I'm trying to make is that this big, powerful, mighty, technological-driven world has its hiccups. And one of the reasons that it has its hiccups is because we all are human. We make these sophisticated things, and they're great, and they're wonderful, and they provide transportation and entertainment and all of this stuff. But what happens, like in the good old days, when the lights went out? And if you had candles, you did that. If you had the gas lighter or the kerosene lighter, you did that. But you got reminded that don't take this thing for granted. Don't take your lights being on for granted. Don't take food on your table being taken for granted. Don't take your health for granted. Don't take your education as it's the end all be all. Look at the changes. Look what the educational system has been disrupted. The American dream has become a nightmare for many people. Some people feel like a lost cause, and they have a death wish. They're just waiting on death to come to end their misery and their suffering. And they have not thought about it. They reject anybody mentioning it. Have they thought about prayer or turning their life over to God or seeking God's message to maybe make some sense out of this thing we call life, and maybe shed some light on why these things are happening, and maybe they can be led to believe that at the end of the day, everybody's going through something, and maybe people have went through it and they done, you know, got issues resolved. But I remember Malcolm X was in an affair and having a conversation with us, and he cautioned the African Americans, and because we're in the human race, though we only are given credit for being 3/5 of a human in some venues and some, but he told us, or he shared with us. He didn't tell us, you know. It wasn't like a D man. It was more like a command, you know, like the commandments that guide us, because they ask us to have a little faith and trust in somebody other than yourself. And then when you do get this blessing or get this situation that you have resolved, be thankful, be grateful. Because you're going to realize, I gave it my all. I went to my best friends. I went to a whole bunch of people, and nothing changed until I turned to God. And even though we have this problem with a lot of people, they want to introduce you to God in And when they get through, you think God's a man. About his hands and his eyes and his face and his feet and what he does and how he does it. And well, when you really study God and really sincerely want to know God, he tells us the creation will help you understand that as a creator. The books that have been revealed with the revelation and the scripture in it will help you understand our relationship. And I want you to believe and get the benefit of your belief. And whenever you have your belief on the stage or being lost and you start to doubt, you go right to that one thing that's always there, and that's your body. Your body has some remarkable lessons or signs or invitations it can give you, and it has rights over you. When you abuse your body responds and tries to get our attention to let us know that we are doing something that's causing a problem. And it may be a good thing. You can drink water too much and too fast, and all of a sudden you don't want water no more because your head is hurting and your chest is thumping and your heart is, you know, acting up and everything. And all it was is you drank it too fast and it was too cold. Now I'm pausing because, I mean, I want you to think about that, you know. It doesn't bother us until it happens. It's just like you don't never know, and then you know what they call it, the elbow of the funny bone, and when you hit it on something and that feeling of pain that you feel is like, whoa, what just happened? You see? And you know now that that's a delicate part of the body. Just like your big toe, our big toe, and our Achilles heel. Those are parts of the body that they remind us, hey, you need to be careful. You need to guard against getting these hurt because they play a very vital role. You know? And there's other parts of the body that you know, you just don't want to hurt. And when you do hurt them, it hurts. The midsection, whoa, you know? And I didn't know the difference between a heart attack and I forget the name now, but all this is leading up to two things. That God has given us much, and over the period of eons, the real value slowly been coming to us, and we see things differently than we used to. If we don't, it's only because we haven't been introduced to know the value, you know. And sometimes it takes being put on our back and lay there for a length of time and give some thought to getting on the road to recovery and restoring our health, which we were taking for granted. And because we were taking it for granted, we were abusive of it, and we lost or we got health challenges as a result. But we had competence on the part of the medical industry and integrity. And so when it was like that, which is not so much now, it's big pharmacy and big bills and big godlike complexes that people are having about this thing when they help do the thing that God endowed them to do. And they took oaths and made it known that their job or their wish is to help serve others when they're in need of that medical service. And some kind of way, well, we won't introduce what we believe is the problem. They lost their way. And they start feeling that these wonderful things that they were doing in all areas of science, really, not the medical, just the medical industry. If you just watch a commercial and they promise you that the things that you want in your life and for your life and the fun and the games that go on, more of them and you know, be able to just laugh and joke through life. It's a big fun activity. And if you're not having fun, you get all depressed. Because in our minds, if we're not careful, the society, the culture that we're going to talk about a little bit, which I believe is a big culprit, I think it gives us these advertisements and these commercials and this wordage and verbiage to restore faith. You know, they introduce comedies and stuff that really is funny, but it's not a joke. But yet and still, they have us laughing about it. Case in point, I was on YouTube last night, way more than I spend a lot of time on YouTube than I should, but I just get fascinated by what's going on, and it's not a good thing. It's once you see one, you've seen them all, but this one was very intriguing. And the reason that I read it, it was showing this man, and then at the bottom, if you've ever been on, it tells you, kind of gives you an idea, this is a prank, or they're trying to do this, or woo, 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 woo. But this said, the life of a transgender, I don't know if it's, I can't remember if it said man or person, but I do remember transgender. And it said, a comedy or something, that let me know. I said, okay, what are they seeing? Why are they doing it? So I put it on. I clicked it. Here's this Caucasian man looking like a man. And he's having a conversation with another. He's having a conversation with a. Let me get it straight now, because I want to get this straight. And the woman. Wait a minute. No, let me get this straight. I got to think about this now. This is important, really. Wait, I got something wrong. I remember now. The man that I'm seeing is talking to a woman. No. That's not right. I'm gonna have to come back there because it's a good story, but I'm messing it up. So let me go away from it and come back. Promise you, I'll come back. So anyway, so this is what we're trying to approach and look at that kind of bothers me. But we're looking at the possibility that this culture is contributing to a lot of what we're experiencing. And some of the unpleasantries that we're having to go through, you know, as a person who was victimized and was in enslaved in the measure and the manner that we were, racism is definitely a part of our conversation. You know, how Black Lives Don't Matter and Black Lives Matter and et cetera, you know, speaking truth and desiring freedom, justice, and equality, all of those things, civil rights efforts, social efforts to get us out of the slavery, enslavement, and the racial epitaphs and things that were said to us and said about us. We spent a great deal of time trying to address that. And I believe at this point we've done just about as much as we can to get the attention of other people about whether or not racism has been diminished to the point to where the opportunities are no longer blocking our way. We are to a great extent blocking our own way. We are not really, you know. I mentioned that about what Malcolm X was saying to us, that we should want to not be worried about the extent or the magnitude of our problems, but we should be asking for greater skills to solve those problems. And when you listen to that and you hear that, it just makes sense. You know, we can't complain our way or draw attention to ourselves like what we're experiencing, which is and was slavery, has never been had. Nobody knows about it. Nobody's went through it. Yeah, similar for the Jewish people and other people, Irish people and et cetera. So we're not the first ones to have this. Now, we're the first one. We do have this distinction that it wasn't just chattel slavery. It was an enslavement in a way that if you read certain literature, you believe that it was we never were to break the lock. We would always be enslaved in our minds, and we would always think in an enslaved way, and no help was going to come to get us out of this predicament. But they misunderstood or misinformed as to the minute that they started to do it, God was already working to undo it. Now, that's a stretch. You got to have a belief system that allows you to stretch it like that, but it's true. You can't do wrong and have a favorable outcome and believe that God's just got his got and he's not involved in it. He has no desire to realize that his name has been taken and taken out of context, that he said, I created it and then I rested and then y'all got it, y'all handle it. Work it out. No, you see too much evidence to support that. And if you're carefully are listening and observing and an awareness that you have will let you know that, yeah, that happened or that didn't happen because there's a God that prevented it, and I qualified because I say I believe in that God, and that God then intervenes on my behalf when it comes to certain things. And I don't, this is the statement of believers, I don't take it for granted. And I do recognize it when I see it because I just like today, mixed messages about how to get on the program. And then I made some inquiries to double check what I had and make sure that that was right. And I still didn't have it right because I had a hanging chat. I said, okay, well, so I got this part. Boom. I do it. Boom. Well, where did this come in? And then as I began to do some compression, I said, oh, there it is. And if that wasn't enough to help me, I got a phone call from the person who was helping me before. They were telling me, oh, here's what you might not have seen, but this you got to have this to get in. And I said, oh, yeah. I'm looking at it thinking you're seeing the same thing, but I see, oh, the error code is different. Oh, that's different. Oh, the only thing the same is the last part. And the first part, And it's just like someone who's standing in a position. And you're on one side of town, and they're on the other side of town, and you ask them, how do I get over there where you're at? And they know that. They can give you that. But you tell them, no, I'm not in a location like that. I'm way over here. But they can't tell you how to get there that way. They only know one way. They only know one way to get to where your location is, and they can't anywhere in the city to tell you how to get to where they're at. And that was the problem that I was facing until I made some more inquiries and I got some more eyes on it. And I said, oh, I see it now. But I was getting ready to go with what I thought I knew, and it was going to end in the results that it had. So who intervened on my behalf to make me look a little closer, ask a couple more questions, and then work it out from my mind because it came from another person's mind, and they might have said, well, you know, once I tell him this, he'll get it. But we don't want to make that assumption. We want to make sure before the person gets off the phone and say, now, do you get it? Do you understand it? They shouldn't feel threatened. Oh, what, you think I'm stupid? No. This is a transition, and it takes a transaction. And as long as there's humans involved, there's always a possibility of a hiccup because you have to get conscious, get your mind flowing like it's supposed to, and know the nature of the problem, and now you can start solving it. Okay, well, somebody said it wasn't no need. The same old thing will work. Then I talked to somebody, said, no, it don't work. You got to get the new letters, the new phones. So I call around, and I ask them questions, and they fill it in, and I write my stuff down. But I still hadn't seen what they saw, and so I'm still looking. I said, okay, I've been told I got the right information, and that will help me get on the show tonight. But what I didn't see was, okay, the old information is still there, except for one portion of it. And this is a different Blog Talk than the other Blog Talk. And I realized that once I got on, when they told me, woo, 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 you're on so-and-so now, do-do-do-do-do. See? So my whole point is that that's one of the things that we need to be conscious of. Did I get what I got from a person who's a good communicator? And they're going to realize that you know what you want to say, and you know what you got to give them, but do you know how to give it to them or say that in a way that they can understand it? I mean, that was a critical lesson I learned in the FOI classes when the lieutenant said that. You know what you want to say. You clear on it. You can say it to yourself. You know it like the back of your hand. But do you know it so somebody else can understand it? And we used to have those little practices and things. You know, you do the elevator pitching. You know, you do the drunk man pitch, or you at the bar and all that. And that's all well and good. Those things work pretty good. And it trained us how to communicate with people better than we had been. And we had an agenda, we had a reason, and we had a rationale. And we thought, or we think, that once they hear this, it will begin to shake them and see that, make them, help them see that there's situations out there, that there are people who are going through the motions. They got their memorization down, they got their recitation down, but they're giving no thought to an application. How am I better off with a better command of Arabic? And I really sound like I can speak Arabic and I can do whatever with Arabic. But the truth of the matter, I don't really know what I just said. And there's a possibility, because I'm still got a little Ebonics in my voice, I didn't say it correctly. I didn't give the greeting the way it's supposed to be given, so I didn't give the greeting. Maybe the last word, alaykum, was there. But the salam alaykum, assalamu alaykum, it didn't make the grade, it didn't cut the grade. So I've been giving greetings, and I want somebody to return the greeting, and that's the requirement. Give, and you get back equal or better. But what if you didn't give it right in the beginning? What if we're not saying it correctly in the beginning? How can someone return it when we haven't given it? And we all good to go. We think we're down to the modern day time Muslim. But what did the Muslim world, what did the Islamic world think about us? In a lot of cases. And this appeal may be hard to swallow. They think we're an embarrassment to the religion. They don't look and see a history that they used to seeing, and they think we're not qualified. Well, where's your, how did you go? But you go back to scripture, and it tells you one day there's going to be, every so often, there comes someone to undo what was done. And they give a little brief description. But what happens, and it can happen because people are human. They can say, well, how can this fella, well, that history, he came from the Negro. How is he qualified? He didn't get it from us. And we the ones you got to go through to get it. And then he's producing all these people and having them think that they got Islam proper after having a bout with some mystical Islam. And now they're on the straight and power path now. And once the scholars begin to take a little time and look at it, then they begin to see the truth in it, because no one can know that unless Allah shows them that. They know that. And slowly they begin to realize that's what's happening. And here's the point that all that talking was about. If we don't realize that the culture can take that awareness away from you and them, and they seek to do that, then we won't know what we got, and we won't do what we're supposed to do the way we're supposed to do it, because we got too much of that other stuff with it. And we're beginning to question ourselves about the leader and the leadership. Requires you to be able to get into what he said without having to say he said it. You say what you think he said. That's going to be better for your communication. Because if you keep repeating that he said it and you need to say that he said it, somebody who's got enough intelligence will say, well, what do you say? Because you remember we used to beat up on the Christians and they say, I'm going by the Bible. And we tell them, that's what your problem is. You're going by the Bible instead of going in the Bible. Well, the same can be said to the Muslim. You want us to go by what this man told you. What do you say based on what this man tell you? How have you begun to apply it in a way and owned it and get the results that you're supposed to get from it to the point to where you are a better representation of a Muslim who's got his life given back got her life given back and is able to represent the religion in a way no matter the state of the circumstances that you're in. You don't need the aid of saying this and that about it. Just like every 99 minutes, you don't need to say subhanahu wa ta'ala or something, alhamdulillah. Someone is overkill. If you are who you say you are, and you believe in what you say you believe, and you think it's a legitimate alternative, then begin to live your life so that people can see what you say is really real to you and it's beneficial to them now. But if we don't do that, then it's showing that we don't understand it enough to do it. And we can't expect people to go along with our program when it hasn't reached a level to really secure us and qualify us to get acknowledged without the credentials that other people have. You can see the substantive things that we're doing and able to do. And we don't go through any other door but the front door. Because what we bring to the table is equal to the people who already are at the table. And they recognize when they hear the truth. What they don't recognize all the time is that they don't recognize that they're still trying to keep their shenanigans going on. I see 314. They still got to get that the shenanigans going on, and they're hoping that they can slip in a little bit of Islam, or they're hoping that they can give us Islam, but we get, instead of Islamicized, we get Arabized. And you have to know that. But you have to know a little step further what we said about the culture. There's a clear case, strong case, that the reason that the connection isn't being made because we've been divided and conquered. Well, we was here first. And this Arabic is, the Quran was revealed in Arabic or as Arabic. See? And once we can answer that question for ourselves, then the Arab that's in the Quran gets put in perspective and it gets properly identified as the word of God given to those in humanity who need that word when it's in a state of darkness, because that word acts like a light and it takes you where you need to go because you needed the light to go there. I'm going to stop right there and we're going to go into 314 and see what's going on. Shahid. That's all they're going.
Alaikum as-salam, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your very astute radio listeners there, AM IWDM Radio. I would say AM 360, IWDM Radio. Yes, you know, was with them for almost 6 years. So sometimes, you know, not being all the way focused, you can have a slip of the lip. But I caught myself. So alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, and the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost for having this platform and being able to have the production such as ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation, and others too. I just wanted to, when you were at that, in terms of the application of what it is that you may have thought that you've learned, and you actually said the word, the key word is understanding. And I want to just give something that Imam Muhammad gave to us, but I want it to be known that I understand what it was that he was saying, just not a quote or quotation. I'm not a person just give quotations, because you have to be able to get clarification, you know, just in case that the person that you're communicating with would ask you some questions about what it is right. You just quoted. I think that's very important to bring about the clarity. Imam Muhammad once said to us that understanding is the home of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the three operative words there is understanding, home, and mind. So what is being linked to understanding is the objective of the mind to understand whatever the conversation is or whatever the communication is. The objective is to get home and actually understanding what that communication is. It's the home of the mind, and then there can be a certain amount of satisfaction, satisfaction that you actually get. It's what we call in social science the word die. D-I-E, a desired internal experience or satisfaction that one has when they can have a conversation and they can it can come home to them where they understand what has been said. Now, that doesn't mean that all the time you may completely 100% agree, but you have a better and usually understanding or a better understanding. And actually, there's a correlation with the state of the soul when it's that, because the soul can be at peace. When you are confounded or confused about something and you're able to talk to somebody that may have more knowledge or insight or experience or what than expertise than you in that certain arena, and you're able to come home or get home with that, in other words, you're able to get an understanding of that, then it's easier to actually apply it in your own life. And the last thing I want to say is to give five things that the scholars said that you owe to the Quran, that you owe to the Quran. We know the Quran is that which should be read. It should be read, but then once again, what is the objective of reading? It's comprehension. And that goes back to understanding again. So the first thing is that we should read the Quran. That's the first step. The second step is that we should believe what we read. That's the second step. It's important to believe what we read because it become a tradition to say Sadaqa Allah Udin. You know, surely Allah speaks the truth. Okay, so we have to believe that, even though we may not understand that. But remember, that's the second step. The third step is where we get to understanding. The third step is that we have to gain an understanding, and that comes with Allah's help intervention in terms of getting to understanding. That's three. That's the core of five, three. Okay, so the first two steps, read, then believe, then understand what it is that you're reading. The fourth step becomes what it is that you're speaking about, which is a personal application of what you understood in your own life first. That's very important, the personal application in your own life first. And the fifth obligation that you owe, as according to the scholars, and it makes sense, is that the fifth step is to be able to convey that message to others, convey the message to others. But now if you go backwards, you will never be able to convey the message to others and really convey the message to others unless you have actually personally applied that in your own life. And you'll never be able to practically apply it in your own life until you understand what it is. And you'll never be able to understand what it is until you first believe. In other words, believe or faith comes first. Believe in what it is that you, what? Read. That's the first thing. So I could say more, but a hint to the wise is sufficient. I'll stop there. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. And thank you very much. You know, this is it's not a one-man job, you know, a one-person job, I should say. And it's always good to hear people who will do what we just got through talking about. You know, you don't try to be a clone. You don't try to be someone who's doing the imitation of your leader or something. You know, we used to do that and speak to, you know, I used to do it, I won't say about we, but I would mimic what somebody else just said, you know. You know, whether it was, you know, in the spirit, and like they were, I'm trying to think of, what was that? But anyway, you know, and some of us do. Yani, yani, alhamdulillah, brother. Yeah, you know, and we go all off into this conversation, and we're just trying to sound as close as we can to what Arabic, to what Arab would say. And I've seen situations like that, you know. We got our costume on, we got our cap on, we got our thobe on, we got our henna on, and we think we you know, like I said, we are making a contribution. But the people who all got us there in that situation, they know exactly what they're doing. You know, I was approached on Hajj. This man's name was our guide. He was the name was Osama, but he taught us the la ilaha. I mean the prayer that we have to say when we're on Hajj, you know, Ashariq Allah, you know, we say the, excuse me, I'm saying it wrong, the Tabligh chant, Labaik Allahumma Labaik, yeah, that's it, I got it right now. And then he would just hit the cue stick, okay, cue, hit it, you know, and we'd have to say it and do. But he was showing off his skills. I got him up to snuff. I got him, you know, say it loud. I'm Arab and I'm proud, you know. Whatever it was. Say it loud. I got my teacher, you know, and he's showing me what to say. But I have no idea what I just said. Now, if I got it on this piece of paper, like I got it, then I know here I am, O Allah, in response to your call, here I am. Here I am to have no partners. Here I am. Indeed, all praise, grace, and sovereignty belong to you. You have no partners. Now, you say, well, what did I just say? You just said that your consciousness has led you to believe, state of mind, and that's your presence is an indicator that you know the value of this pillar, but you go even a step further. That I know I was called upon. When I heard the five pillars, I was called upon to do the fifth, if at all possible. So since I've done it, I acknowledge my presence here, but I have a consciousness and a mindset that I got. And I realize that contrary to what other scripture has said, you have no partners. There's only one God, and you are that God. And I'm at your, what they said, it's house, but it's not. You know, the building that's going to get done is you're going to get built up. You're going to leave there in better shape than you was before you came there. If you will submit and do what you just learned, Labaik Allahumma Labaik. Labaik La Sharika Labake. And, you know, I've suffered from when you don't use it, you lose it. But in the time that I was over there, it came out. It came out clear. And what it did for me, because the full impact of what I had said didn't get across to me until years later. Because you have to slow down and see what the repetition is. And the repetition is suggesting I didn't know that I didn't know, but I was acting like I did know. But now that I do know, I can say this in honesty and earnesty that I have, we talked about it in the class, that I have purified myself. I have emptied out all that stuff that's foolishness and madness and nonsense, and I've made room for this. So now when I say it, I'm a different person. And like the brother just said, I had to die in order to live. I had to stop listening in order to hear what was being said, what was being required of me to be able to make the statement and not be accused of falsely just stating it but not understanding it and not able to apply it and not being a good representative. Because when you have it and you believe it, the way you understand and how to explain it, it's not something that you got a little couple of notes in your pocket and you pull them out and say, okay, see what I just, and this is why I believe. No, your life will reflect it. Just like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you'll be a walking, talking Muslim headed to being a mukmin. And exactly, we said in our introduction to some music and whatnot, ain't no stopping us now. See, I am not a convert or a revert. I had a close association, I've been an associate and a student of my teacher. So that's what qualifies me. I went back and got nothing that I didn't have before. God has sent us someone who told us, I'm born for this mission. So if you'll just shut your mind off and close your books up and listen to me, we can get started. And when you get where I know you will get, because revelation will take you there, then we'll have a strong community. But it's going to start with strong people and strong families that realize that they don't have what they need. And that the commandment tells us to save yourself first, then save your family. So if you do due diligence and do that, then the rate of people wanting to be a part of the association will become greater, because they want to be with people who have been down that road where they realize, I didn't know, but now I know. And that road that leads to freedom, justice, and equality. Without no justice, there's no freedom. Without no justice, there's no equality. So understanding how they go, you just can't say freedom, justice, and equality. You got to know which one comes and which one perpetuates the other one. And then you're not just that, you haven't just changed your name. You haven't just changed your location. You haven't just changed the way you dress. You actually change owe you to become the new you, and the new you does not have a problem with the changes that were made, because you don't change to the point to where you throw the baby out with the bathwater. Change should be relatable and being able to, someone should be able to relax and be able to resurrect, you know. Get repent and get redemption in their life. See, and you hear it in Merciful Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer. He's waiting on us. And when I say he, you know, no, that's part of the whole problem now. If you hear he, and he's a pronoun with he, you think, well, he's masculine. No, that's somebody trying to help us understand God and the role that he should have in our life. And then he goes on to add to this thing and say, well, look, you got to realize something. Don't think you're there because you say a couple of things. The 99 attributes. If you can learn them and recite them and apply them, there's a reward for that. But one of the rewards you're going to get instantly, immediately, is that God is Allah, or the Creator, is so powerful, you just can't take one word, whether it be Arabic or whether it be English or whether it be Spanish, and really give a true definition of Allah. But you can enhance the one that you have, and you can get the one you have reinforced because you begin to see the differences in your life before you made your Shahada and after you made it. Then and now. Back in the day, you can remember, wow, I didn't even know that I didn't know until I found out. And then when I found out what I didn't know, I realized there was a critical corner piece of this puzzle. And now I know why people who have been here before, and there's nothing but ruins there, I know the culprit, just like we've been talking about the culture. And so what we're experiencing, we look back at Sodom and Gomorrah, and we can say we're looking at a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. Without any doubt, the evidence is there. It's clear that the moral decadence that they allow us to slowly creep into their lives, that when anything moral that used to be wrong, now it's acceptable. And you see this country. They used to swear, and oh, you can't, now you can get rich off of marijuana if you can declare it as a medicine. Declare your that social, sexual, or you want to change this and change that and do that. And people act like nothing has changed. We embrace you with love anyway. We what they say, used to say, we hate the sinner, but we love the person, something like that. Something that is that's not logical. He's not just that person or those people who are doing it. They're not just violating the man's law. It tells you in God's law that you shouldn't do that. The Bible says it's the abomination of abominations. For you to insultly tell God you're not complete the way you came and you need to make some serious adjustments to get your life right, because there was always the time there was this woman came with you in your body and it was asking to get out. What kind of God does that? Doesn't do the same to everybody. Doesn't have the same playing field. So you got to go this long distance to convince people that God did this to you and for you. And in the meantime, give me all the rights of those who don't feel this way, or who haven't had that happen to them, and who would not serve a God who would do that to somebody. Doesn't add up. You know, that looks more devilish than godly. There's nothing that you see with God that gives us the heaven and the earth and gives us the sun and the moon and the stars and the wind and the earth and all that to benefit from. We can't even. We haven't even come close to even. You know, the country may the world of Earth may be out of commission before we even realize what's out there that could be that can replace Earth and even enhance it even more. We have no idea. We can't fathom that this could happen. That the Earth was just a entry point, but X amount of years down the road, it was supposed to not be the final home for us humans. And there was always another place, or there is another place waiting on us. And we can make Hijra. Or we can make a movement from this earth to a place that's even better. Hard to believe, maybe. But when you look at the thing that was in the media, is coming to true. The Jetsons and Star Trek and all that now. It's coming into fruition. So what does that mean? We have no idea. But what? because we're dedicating our lives and committing to more space travel. If there's something out there, like I recommend or like I suggest, then we're going to find it. Now, is it going to be in our lifetime? No, I don't think so. But look how much progress is made in our lifetime. What do we have to say about that? What do we have to do about that? Can you imagine if we prepare our children with that kind of thinking, then there won't be a big generation gap. There won't be, we got here, but it took these kind of people to get us here. The only kind of people that will get you there are human people. And when we acknowledge the great gift that we've been given, the great blessing that we've been given, we acknowledge it as human beings. And we want everybody to share in it and benefit from it because it's not ours. We don't start selling tickets. We don't start selling shares on it. Land and real estate people don't step up and start charging you exorbitant prices to make it the great discovery not available or affordable. God didn't let whoever discovered it and claim it for their own and start selling it back to the people who you're supposed to be benefiting because they need to get off earth because people like you have ruined it. They ruined the water. They ruined the air. So it might be time to move on. But when we move on, it's not going to be just for the haves, the have-nots have to be included. And then when you do that, then you see this beautiful bouquet. And you look back, you step back and you say, we did this. And because you didn't have the whatever work with all, we don't hold that against you. We invite you to step up and make a contribution anyway. And to show you that this is the way that it's done, you can look at the way that it's done. When they started doing what James Brown said, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself. You just get out the way and don't try to do anything to hinder my ability to gain the knowledge so I can begin to apply it in my own unique way and get the full benefit. And I won't have to look back and say, well, three quarters of my journey was somebody was aiding and assisting me and giving me a lot of help and welfare and Section 8 and all that, or discounts or the hookup. And there's many people who want to model what we should be doing and get the full benefit and the full dignity. And was no accommodations made because we couldn't grasp it anyway. We had to dumb it down so we could make it available to our poor fellow humans. No such nonsense. There's a book out called Chariot of the Gods. And the question that the Chariot of the Gods are asking, how could they duplicate something so similar? And it looks like no one gave it to them. So what happened? They ain't included God. They said, well, God endowed them with the same ability, but in a different location, studied it, and they duplicated or replicated or whatever. That's what you see in China. They'll take a picture, and they go back home, and they give you a version of what they did. And because of whatever they how they made it and how quick they made it, it may not last, may not be top of the line, whatever. But that's where the people are going. And you pick up the stuff that's made in China. But because they are doing it the way that they're doing it, it doesn't have the guarantees. And then they got it the way that they got it. There's a little bit of something that's left out. And then the other side of it, too, the quality that used to be there is not there anymore. And there's a few people who are new to the table, and they're hungry. And they recognize that this is a chance, as President Obama said, to change history, for history to be made. This is a teachable moment that thing that we want, if we'll share it with other people, we'll get a greater benefit because they'll give their version, and then they'll give their version, and then they'll give their version. And all of that is the wealth that comes when you don't try to hold people back so you can step up to the front of the line and claim. You can lead them off to the victory that they're looking for. You can give them the promised land that God promised everybody. So when a man like Moses shows up, people who were first introduced to Moses don't take all the credit. They recognize, oh, you just got your Moses. Our Moses came back in, and now your Moses is coming up here, and we just stand back and watch this success. Because look what it did for us. So what it might happen to us, them now, they might get three times greater. But who benefits? Everybody. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to make up these stories that put you in a position to be superior to other people. And once you really realize it, you stop doing it. And there's fashions of in the Jewish community that realize that, and they're trying to address it. And that's the last thing in my conclusion with this. And when you mentioned, I'm talking about Brother Mark, trying to find your way back home. There's another English word. And there's Imam Muhammad said it in one of his, Rahim Allah Alay, in one of his lectures, that now E.T. can finally come back home. So what did he say it, and why did he say it? There's various reasons. There's any number of interpretations and for why we think, and translations and whatever. But the popular movie and the problem that it showed, you know, I forgot what E.T.'s, maybe I can get Brother Mark or somebody to tell me that, what the E.T. stood for. But extraterrestrial, maybe that's what it was. I'm not sure. But that's the predicament of people of color and African Americans and other people in the color chain. We have not reached our full potential, and we are lost in space. We're letting the people we think that know how to do this take the lead and tell us, oh, don't touch it, you might break something. See? And once we take off that image of wanting to take second and go on and shoot for the stars and go for first, then we'll go back home and make Bollywood to replace what we saw at Hollywood. And I'm using that example because it's a good example. We'll do what the Amish do. They let their children go out there. Go out there, drink, smoke, do all that stuff that they're doing. And they found 75% of them come back because they realize that all of that is not what it's cracked up to be. And it's more harmful than beneficial to be out there at the mercy of them because they don't have no restraints like they used to. If you can get a little ID together and look a little about, look like you, they ain't going to look at it too. Oh, you got ID? Oh, 18, go ahead. Get drinks, do everything you can do that you're an adult. I'm wise enough to give false identification. I got a place I can go. I can give false identification. You're down, so looking at the guy, I said, look, you don't look no more than 16 or 17. I don't want to get in trouble with the law, first of all. You know, that's against the law to do that. But more importantly, I don't want to get in any kind of cause any kind of problems for myself with the Creator. That'll stop the action. That'll cut it out. Because that's the kind of thinking you need to have to not be tempted by what's out there. And the deception that takes place on the part of Satan to get us to do what we're doing. And the intent to prove to God, hey, I would have been better suited than you taking this man and giving him what you're giving, which is the best of what you have, and let him lead when I was here first. And we know the story. But we also know what God said he was going to do and what was waiting to come. And once that comes, it's no challenge. It's nothing that you can do to overcome it. And right about now, because it's come in the magnitude that it's come, Satan's pretty desperate. He's putting out all stops and all whatever. He's the one for low blow, all kind of blows. And guess what? He's causing a lot of casualties. And the reason that he's doing it is because he's doing it right in our face. He's right there deceptively saying stuff, creating situations, and creating problems as a result of those situations. One of the movies that I didn't mention, I was talking about Hangover and Adam's Family and whatnot. Well, it started out, I think, as a movie, and then it became an animated version, and then it, you know, it just kind of slipped away from us. But the effects is still there. The thinking is still there that went with it. Bebe's Kids is a movie, or the comedy. You see, they hide it up with, oh, it's just something to make you laugh. Yeah. You're laughing at stuff that's not really funny. You're laughing at your own self. You are problematic, inherited problematic children. See? And they are not a compliment to family life. And they've proven that they're not really willing to obey, you see. But because we say we love them and we see that they're kids and they could be our future, we try to save them anyway in spite or because of themselves. And that's the storyline. And it's all in the name of this guy wants to go out with this girl. So he tries to get them all at the park and whatnot, and he tries to date her and help her with her children. And ignore a lot of what they're doing and the way they approach the life is. I know you'll remember this. This scene came out right about the same time. It said, he's not heavy. He's my brother. Ain't a problem. You know, and there were some scenarios with our community with that same thought and that same belief system. See? We want to reach out. Instead of reaching in a way, they have to reach up. Because you don't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. That came out around the same time. Same predicament. And we there trying to defy what the Revelation says. It says save yourself and then save your family. But what if your family don't want to be saved? Then it'd be like Noah's Ark. You had to tell Noah, that's not your son. If he was your son, he would be right there helping you and aiding you and assisting you and believing in you and trusting in you. He's not. He's got a plan. He's all right. He's good. Get on the ark and go on without me. And you asking God to save him when he don't even want to save himself. You asking God to love him. He don't even love his own self. Now, that's a symbolic story. We know it don't necessarily have to be the actual way, but that thinking was not symbolic. A lot of people didn't think they needed to be saved. What's wrong with what you? I like the way we grooving and moving, shaking and baking. And there's many people to that. They don't want to give up this life. They don't want to walk around and do without this. And they have no desire to do like the Amish. Okay, well, give it a touch and see. You might want to come back and see that this life is better. That one's a little dangerous, and that one's a little they're out of touch with what they really need to be in touch with. And if you join them, you're just going to be just like them, and the consequences that they're suffering, you're going to suffer too. And you have to, and you reading and trying to get your children or these people are like that to be reasonable. Think about it. What's so great about it? What's something that's so great you can't live without it? And you know you're putting yourself in harm's way, but you still do it. And you invite other people to come along with you for the ride. Some of it just because you want to sell them. Some of it because you're so addicted you don't see any other way. And another thing about this, the Bebe kids, they said they were, the people who tried to help them, they were considered enablers. Enablers, that's what he's not heavy, he's my brother. You make him able to do what he's doing because your position is I love you but I hate your sins, or I hate your behavior, or I hate the way you conduct yourself, or I hate the way you are a disruptive force. And it says that these children were hedonistic. What does that mean? It means that they want pleasure over pain, and they'll do anything to get it, including at the expense of others. Now think about that. They introduced little naughty, nasty to who? to the people who were formerly tough love, Spatterod, Sparler Child. But now you got this, turn your head, stick your head in the ground and don't see that. Just love them and that love will get them to embrace, but if it doesn't, love them anyway. Don't acknowledge what Revelation says. There's some requirements before you can come. And if you're not pure enough, if you're not in accord with that, you can't come. And you can disqualify yourself and you can put yourself in a position of either being a hypocrite or a disbeliever. And it could be someone close that we love, we care about. But if they don't care about themselves, you cannot get them to. You can lead a horse to water, but what? You can't make it drink. So when that wisdom went away, they start introducing, that's all right. I mean, get a brother a break. Get a sister a break. And you heard people start doing that. Give me a break. Come on now, man. You know, it's me and you. And people were doing it. And you have people like Michael Fick, got his whole reputation and his whole career messed up messing with his friends, who he wasn't gambling. He wasn't training no dogs. He was trying to be good to his little partners. And he hadn't learned, like some of the other basketball players, hey, man, I'm a millionaire, man. I got a future and whatnot. You can't pookie no more. You can't be that guy. You can't be Bebe's kid and come over here and expect me to, you know, let you take us down. You can't expect me I'm going to be MC Hammer and let you drag me down because you look like me. And we grew up together and we got a history together. We, you know, you did a good deed for me one day and you saved my life. You did whatever. I don't owe you that. No one owes you that. What you do owe is a debt to society for being a menace. Then there's another one. See, they had Dennis the Menace over there with the Caucasian people. Disrupted, but they glorified him, Dennis the Menace. So what am I saying to end this? I'm saying as I end this, all of humanity is threatened by what Satan is injecting into the socialized but uncivilized America. Okay. No one gets out of it alive. That's true. But we can get out of it if we get a little light in our life, and we get a little courage in our life, and we get a little belief in our life, and we stop having a problem making a decision about who's going to do what when they've proven that they're not going to do that yet. So, and it's a waste of time, money, and energy to spend on them. And I'm not trying to preach that. I'm saying you and I have to have the ability to assess that and then make a decision and live with it. That's simply what I'm advocating. Because too many times you've seen that we made efforts to move forward, and the dead weight holds us back. And the dead weight is because we just so emotional, we're just trying to want everybody to believe and serve it and love it and do like we do. But if you look back, both scriptures say, you know, many will choose them, but few choose to stay. They had the opportunity, but they chose to want the life of the enslaver versus the life that someone who's been a slave and now they are empowered and they are able to do for self. They don't want that kind of conversation. They want what they want. They want the so-called norm. They want quick, get-rich-quick opportunities. They want lottery. They want all of that. I want to go to the Las Vegas and make me some money, make it fast, and come back home, and how you like me now? Well, that's not according to God's plan. And he's not going to change his plan just because you need something like that to be in place. Now, that's justice if you really look at it and you really understand it and you really apply it. See? You and I have to become mature. Maturity don't have to get a lower standard for us. But a lot of people want that. They want what they want, but they want it to be easy. They don't have a work ethic. They want something to be given to them for nothing. They think that people owe them something. It's not true. And once we accept life on its terms, watch our life. People want to what? See us as role models. They're doing what anyone or everyone who wants to succeed do, and they're not willing, they're not having any problem with what they have to do. So we'll say it again. Maybe we're not getting ahead because what's in our head. And maybe what's in our head is coming from a source that's outside of ourselves, and it's getting on the inside of us, and it's holding us back, and it's causing us to make bad decisions. And we're not able to prioritize first things first. See? Get rid of some of the ugliness and evil and badness in your life and watch your life perk up like new money. And people can see the value around you because you solve problems and you add value to the situation. You are healthy and you use your wealth to have the ones who don't have now help them get in a position to do have. So the haves and the have-nots, the gap is not so big now. Because there's good people who will do good things, but they've been denied opportunities. They've been denied resources. Get a community that does that and aids that and assists that and teaches that and encourages that and have institutions that teach that. Watch the success. And we can't claim it all as an individual. It's not meant to be that way anyway. We did it as a community. And the ones that were called upon, they excelled and they gave of themselves for the good of the whole. And it doesn't, like I said before, it doesn't go to one person. That particular guy, the political person, the educational person, the spiritual, the religious person. See, those are the ones that we definitely acknowledge, but when they look back and we look back, we all realize we couldn't have did it by ourselves. You were the one that helped us in that area. And I'm the one that helped us in this area. And we put it all together and we become a well-rounded group of our community. We're not lacking in those areas. We don't lack discipline. We don't lack envy and jealousy and all that. So I could go on and on, but I think that I think I've been heard, and I think that I hope I didn't sound preachy. Hope I didn't seem to be making a point of making enemies. But it has to be said, and if I don't say it, somebody else is going to say it. And if it's true, and it needs twerking, and we all being worked on by the Creator. If we want to be honest, we all are being worked on by the Creator. And the biggest room in everybody's house, as they say, is improvement. See? And if we'll accept that challenge, and realize that all the help we need to make the progress that we want, God will bless us with it. So may God bless. I don't know if Brother Mark is still on. You know, he said he had to go somewhere. I'm going to see if I can get him here. If not, I'll get Sister DePrete to help me with the schedule that we have and talk a little bit about the other people who are on there. Brother Mark, you there? Or you had to step out? So that means you get chosen, Sister DePrete. So let me see if I can get you to help us get other programs announced a little bit anyway, and a little bit of information about what's coming up tomorrow and maybe as far as you can go with the rest of the week. What's on Laker? Oh, do you have to touch one on your phone to come in, Sister DePrete? Can you hear me? Can you touch one?
If I press one, it was inadvertently. But I'm enjoying the program, but I'm still on the move.
Oh, okay. I was getting ready to close out, and I wanted to see if it could get a little help with the future program, like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Is that possible, or are you driving or something?
Oh, I'm trying to get situated now. Tuesday. Rashid Salam,
right.
And he have with science of your life and your health. Yes, sir.
Health,
Dr. Right. Rashid, along with them. The science of your health and then the science of your health. And I believe they come on at 7 o'clock.
Is that Eastern Standard Time?
Yes, sir. Everything is Eastern.
Okay.
And that's on Tuesday. And then, of course, you know, Mark come on Wednesday with Parenting and Reconstruction Learning Lab. And
okay.
And Dr. Saladin is on vacation
okay.
in Medina. With her, But so he, Mark and Salam, Rashid Salam, is going to be on together. He's going to take Then on Thursday, then that's on the first hour of Parents and Family Reconstruction. Then on the second hour, they got the MGM Roundtable, a Muslim Global. Mm-hmm. And that'll be from 8 until 9 or 10, something like that. And then
and both of those
I'm not
got
sure
Brother Mark on them or not?
That's Brother Mark.
Okay.
On Wednesday early from 7 to 8, and then from 8 to 9 will be the MGM Roundtable. And Mark does the same. And then
all
on
right.
Thursday at the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that will be from 8 until from 7 to 9, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, 7 to 9. And they're doing the True Love Recipe. They're finishing that up on the True Love Recipe.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then on Friday, you know, they got the
Juma
prayer.
Right.
And usually I think Imam Mikhail Sair, he does that. And
right,
then
right.
I know on, and then I know on Saturdays at 1 o'clock, he's got the reading.
Book club, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then on Sunday, I don't think it's anything going on Sunday. And if it is, it's
these are Words Make People, right? Is he still doing Words Make People?
Yes, sir. Words Make People. Wouldn't that come on Sunday?
Sunday,
because because the book club is on Saturday. You're right, Brother Man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And that comes on at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Central Time, I believe.
Right,
in
right,
one
right. Well, like I said before, what I'm going to do, make my commitment, and it makes me say it out public, and that'll be more pressure for me to do it, is to get this written down, and then I'll need less help, and I can give all the three times, and people will know what time it'll be where they're at versus just that everything is Eastern Standard, because there's the Pacific, too, and then there's the I forget the other one.
Well,
Central,
if it's Eastern Time, then it's 1 hour back, and it'll be, if it come on at 8 Eastern, then it's going to come on 7 Central. And then if it's at 7 Central, you're going to count up 3 more hours, and it's going to make it come on at 5.
Pacific.
If it come on 7, 8, 9, yes, sir, Pacific Coast Time.
Right. Yeah, it can be fixed out so most people will know, but it's just good to inform them because, you know, that kind of thing, we don't want to take it for granted. And I want to give a full description of what's going on here. It's not just me. It's a lot of good people with a lot of good stuff to be able to share.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I don't mind, you know, brother and ma'am, if you, you know, tune me in to do whatever, you know, and I try to help as much as I can. I don't mind.
Right, yeah, well, alhamdulillah, you know, like I said before, we want to get more and more professional, so, yeah, we'll taking little baby steps, and then we got to do some grown-up stuff, you know.
Yes, sir. But I did enjoy the program. I heard Mark Aid on early, didn't I?
Yeah, he was there, but he had told me he needed to leave and step away from it. He'll get the recording, and he'll be able to, you know, go back over the part that he missed,
sir,
you know, so alhamdulillah. Just trying to say a few things about this thing we call culture. And some of the things that they're doing that has just been blatant and open to get us all in a bag and keep us there, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah.
So thank you again. I'm not gonna hold you. I'm not gonna be anymore. I'm gonna go and get off of here, and I try to do my little best here for the day and for the community, and hope that something like a benefit came out of it. Because believe me, we can go and take our rest and whatever, but the Satan does not rest, and I know that for a fact, you know, because. When you turn on your TV, you're going to get something, And if it ain't, it may not be but a little old commercial or something, he going to be on there preaching something that's not halal and be going to getting paid for it and trying to bring up that as an example of saying, see, they don't want, right? They want this, you know, who can't get enough of this funky stuff, you know? And so there's a lot of people that are like that, but they're like that for a reason. And once they decide to hold themselves accountable and be more responsible, we won't see that. But it's a change going to come, I guess I'll put it like that. And I want to be on the right side of the world and of the behavior and everything so that I can reap the benefits, you know. And we got the month of Ramadan coming up, so that's another thing that we got to look forward to. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. And in fact, it's getting ready and really, really getting into the spirit of what Ramadan is all about. If we don't know, ask around, because, I mean, it's not something that's done annually for nothing. And it's not the biggest Eid, but it is a very important one because it talks about the human nature and the way God wants us to be and what role he plays in our life. I mean, you know, we acknowledge that there is a God, but how is he benefiting you in your life? And how could he benefit some of the people that you know that are used to be like you or are still like you and want to do better with their lives? So let's remember that and ask for God's guidance on that and ask for God's forgiveness. And we thank you and we thank Allah for blessing us to be together tonight. And hopefully we have, like I said, some good come out of it. And we hope to see you here next week. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and I greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And this is the peace that only Allah can give. And we acknowledge that, and we pray for it, and we hope that he will hear our prayers and answer our prayers. So once again, assalamu alaikum, and we hope to see you here next week.